Welcome to Hope Unveiled, the podcast that guides you on a transformative journey toward a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. We are Sunrise Church of Surrey, British Columbia, Canada, and our mission is to carry the hope and purpose of Jesus to those who may feel far from God. In each episode, we'll dive deep into the teachings of Jesus, offering practical insights and guidance for your faith journey. Whether you're taking your first steps in faith or seeking to deepen your existing relationship with Christ, we invite you to join us on this journey to embrace the hope that transforms lives.
All right, we are in a sermon series called The King Has Come. That means we believe Jesus has come. He came as a baby, but he comes to us by the Holy Spirit still. Every time we gather in his presence for prayer and worship, he comes to us when we recognize him. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the Bible today, and we're going to read in the book of Luke. So if you have your Bible with you, you can open that. We also love a Bible app called YouVersion Bible app. And as we get into the Bible is divided into two main sections. The Old Testament, which is the history of the people of Israel, the covenants and the prophetic writings, and the New Testament, which is written towards the church. How many of you kids know any books from the New Testament? Who can name me a book from the New Testament? My daughter, Matthew, okay? What's another book from the New Testament? Keegan? Luke. Anyone else name a book from the New Testament? Wani. Philippians, awesome. And one more. John. Give these kids a round of applause. We're going to be reading from the book of Luke today. Now, let me just say, as we get into our sermon today, I want to talk about the power of fear and the presence of Jesus Christ. I want to talk about the power of fear and the presence of Jesus Christ. Has anyone ever been afraid before? Adults? Yeah? Maybe you're afraid of the family you're going to get together with on Christmas Day? Just a little bit. You know that uncle or that cousin that's going to come over and you're not so sure it's going to be in control? That sometimes happens. Now, let me set up for you guys what was happening in the first century when the message of Jesus came. Now, kids and adults, when the message of Jesus came, they weren't like us. They didn't have TVs, cell phones, Nintendo Switches. They didn't have any of that. And everyone said, oh. They had humble homes. They had animals. They had friends. They had different types of schools than we have. But what happened is there was a group of people called the Romans. Everyone say Romans. Now, in this time with the Romans had made peace. There was no battles, there was no fighting. But the Romans were a very strong people. And what they wanted to do is they wanted to keep everyone under their rule. So they had this thing called Pax Romana, which was the Pact of Peace. But the Jewish people, who Jesus was a part of, lived under the Roman rule. So they could be scared. Why? Because if you met a soldier in those days, soldiers weren't necessarily nice to you. They could take your things. And when we read about this story, something was imposed for the very first time. It was called a tax. Now, everyone, when you hear tax, parents say, oh, tax? Oh, kids, you don't know what tax is, but I'll explain it to you. You know when you go out for a meal and your dad takes the first bite of your cheeseburger or your chicken finger or the first, that is called tax. That's called dad tax. So what happened in that day is all the people had to give money to the Roman government so that they could build roads and they could build sewers and aqueducts and they could help the people. So what was happening is all the people were forced to travel, all the people were forced to give money, and all the people were under the rule of the Romans, a place that could be very scary. Fear was present. And also at that time, if you wanted to worship Jesus like we worship today, you were worshiping the God of the Old Testament, you were worshiping Elohim, the Lord. It was permitted, but it wasn't celebrated. It wasn't the center of culture. Now, the message of God that came was so important because does anyone remember for how many years there was silence in between the last thing the prophet said and the coming of Jesus? Any kids remember that? Any adults remember that? 400 years. Do you remember how many years the people of Egypt were in slavery, or the people of Israel were in slavery in Egypt? How many years? About 400 years. There was reason to be afraid because there was silence. God wasn't speaking. So not only were you afraid because you were under the Romans, but you were afraid also because God hadn't been speaking. This is where we enter the story with the shepherds. Now, what do you guys know about shepherds? Kids, what do you know about the shepherds? You don't know anything? Does anyone know anything about the shepherds? What did they do? What did they do, Elena? Do you want to tell us something about the shepherds? Okay. Oh. You got that? Okay, go. They take care of sheep. What else do we know about the shepherds?
They were very stinky.
That is true. It's true. What else do we know about shepherds?
They have long sticks.
Long sticks? They had staffs. Yeah, what else do we know about shepherds? That they had long staffs. Now, let me tell you something about shepherds before we get into this. Shepherds were not the peak or the highest point of the social order. In fact, the shepherds were the lowest of the social order. Shepherds were not only considered the lowliest people, but shepherds weren't trusted. A shepherd wasn't even allowed to give testimony in court. They didn't believe shepherds. This is the way Jesus chose to have the message of his birth revealed. The other thing, in the Jewish culture at that time, you could be ceremonially clean or ceremonially unclean. If you were unclean, that meant that you were not able to keep up all of the rules and regulations to be a part of worship and part of the community. Now, when you're tending sheep out in a field, and as one of our kids said, you're very stinky, do you think you're clean? No, you're not. So for a shepherd to come into worship, they couldn't do that. Now, I want you to put your hands together and welcome with me one of our youth, one of our worship people, one of our leaders in our preteen program, Winner Kenny Yambe. And he's going to be bringing the word of God to us. He's going to be reading. All right, Winner, bring it to us.
This is Luke 2, chapter 8 to 20. The shepherds and the angels. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Winner. Leave it to you, Pam. So there was four things that the angels said before they even gave their message. They said this, "Fear not." Can you say that with me, everybody?
Fear not.
Everyone who's an adult, can you say it with me?
Fear not.
Oh, come on, you adults. Is this like your first time anyone's asked you to say something? Any public speakers here? Okay, let's try it again. Fear not.
Fear not.
I bring you, next one.
Good news.
Of?
Great joy.
Say it again.
Great joy.
And the last one? That was good. You know what that sounded like? When Family Feud at the end has not got all the stuff off the board? And it's like, that's, you did so well. Give yourself a round of applause. Here's what I love about this message. The very highest message of Jesus Christ the Lord comes to the very lowest people. comes to the shepherds. The most highly entrusted message that needs to be given comes to the people who are untrustworthy. You know what's so interesting about these shepherds? Scholars and historians tell us this, that in the Jewish culture, there was a sacrifice of sheep that was made for the sin of the people, and every year there was special sheep that were selected for that sacrifice. These shepherds who were dwelling near Bethlehem were most likely to be those very people that were raising the sheep that would ultimately be sacrificed in the Jewish customs and rituals for their sin. And it is to those very shepherds who took care of the sheep that they are the first to hear the message of Jesus the Lord coming. Isn't that cool? That God would not only deliver the highest message to the lowest people, but he would deliver the message of Jesus about his birth, but ultimately about his death to the people that were stewarding and raising all those sheep that would ultimately be sacrificed for the people's sin, pointing towards Jesus. So the angel says to them, the Savior is born in the city of David. Have you ever been in a place where you say this phrase, that's too rich for my blood? And have you ever said that? That's too rich for my blood. Have you ever been in a place where you feel like something is too good for you? A number of years ago, I was a part of a leadership program, and I got to be in this amazing place called Muskoka Camp. And I was in Muskoka. I looked at the beautiful design, the architecture of the building we're in, and I thought to myself, man, this place is too amazing. It's too nice. I have friends who are working in developing nations. I have friends who are working with unreached people groups. They never get to be a place like this. But in the midst of that, one of my mentors at the time said to me, this is something you just have to receive. It's good. It's amazing. You just have to receive it. Here we are, the shepherds, hearing the word of God, the lowliest people, and they receive the highest message, and God entrusts them with it. Now, what's so interesting, if you were a person who was unclean in those days, you couldn't go into Jerusalem in the temple. You couldn't pray in the temple. You couldn't worship in the temple. And if people saw you coming, they would probably say what our young girl over here said, you're stinky. But something happened in the message. They heard Christ the Lord, a Savior is born in the town of David. And they would have been thinking, who to us? You're telling us the message? But then one word changed everything for the shepherds. And it's this word, manger. Say that with me, manger. And what a manger was in those days, often in the first century homes, was hewn out of the ground, carved out of the stone, was the place, the trough, where the animals ate. And it was cleaned out every day. Every day the family would clean it out and make it perfect. So all of a sudden, the shepherds who think, why are we getting this message? We're just the stinky, dirty people who look after the sheep. All of a sudden, the humility of Jesus is seen because he's born and put into a manger. He's born in the humblest of places in a home. He's born in the humblest places. And all of a sudden, the high message that comes to the lowly people who would even fear the message that was coming, understand that they are welcomed in. Isn't this the beauty of the good news of the Christian gospel? That it doesn't matter how low you are or how high you are, you can receive. And the message, they said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. See, I think there's something about the power of fear and the presence of Jesus. But I think this, when we look at the presence of Christ, the truth is this, the power of fear fails in the presence of Christ. The power of fear fails in the presence of Christ. Now, let me tell you something. If you think you can live a life without fear, you're fooling yourself. You're fooling yourself. Because fear is part of an innate reaction God has put in our bodies. How many people love being chased by a bear? You should be afraid of that, okay? You know, when we drive to our cabin and we see the bear cubs and the bears, and they go across the road right in front of you, or you're driving and you see some bear scat on the road, you should have a certain amount of fear that is induced into your body. That is protection. But here's the difference. Fear is a reality, but it's how we actually respond to it. Because when they study fear and psychologists look at fear, the one thing they don't consider is how is fear changed in your life when you welcome the presence of Jesus into that moment. The shepherds were afraid. And what was the first message to them? Fear not. You know, this message of fear not is all through the Bible. In fact, even in the Christmas story, just a couple weeks ago, Pastor Braden was preaching. Zechariah, the priest who is serving, he met an angel in the middle of the temple, and the angel said, "Fear not," to him. When the message came to Mary, she was perplexed, and the angel said to her, "Fear not." And then to Joseph, an angel spoke to him in a dream, and the angel said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." All through the message of Christmas, the message is, "Fear not." Now, what I love about this is that the Bible doesn't tell me to fear not because I can muster all the courage. The Bible doesn't tell me to fear not because I know where my dad's baseball bat is in the house. Guys, you with me? The Bible doesn't tell me to fear not because I can pray hard. The Bible tells me to fear not because Christ has come. Now, let me ask you, what are some of your fears? Maybe some of your fears are this. I got a couple pictures here. Maybe you fear these things. Maybe you fear bees. Maybe you fear clowns. Some people are walking out right now because I put a picture of a clown up. I'm just joking. Maybe you fear bee clowns. I don't know. But let me ask you this question. What are some of your deepest fears? Has anyone ever seen adults? This is an adult show. Has anyone ever seen Schindler's List? Put your hand up if you watch Schindler's List. Schindler's List is a story of a man, last name Schindler, who in World War II employed a number of Jewish people in his factory to save them from death in the Holocaust and in the camps. Now, I really relate to the end of the movie because the end of the movie really describes one of my biggest fears. At the end of the movie, he's standing there outside his factory and there's a car, and Schindler, with shaky voice, says, "Did I do enough?" He looks at his car and he says, "The car, that could have saved 10 people. And he takes a pin of gold off his lapel and he says, "This lapel, it's gold. This could have saved 2 more people." And when I think of that picture of Schindler, then that's my biggest fear. My biggest fear is that when my life ends, I have not done enough for the kingdom. I have not reached as many people as God had put in my life. I have not spread the message of the love and hope of Jesus as far and wide as he would want me to. Now, it's very interesting. This study just released earlier this year, comparing the U.S. fears of 2022 to 2023, from 8th place to 2nd place, from 2022 to 2023, the fear of economic collapse went up from the 8th most biggest fear to the 2nd biggest fear in the U.S. What displaced number 2? Number 2 went to number 5. That was the fear of people getting significantly ill. Went from number 2 to number 5. But everyone has fears. Let me ask you this. Is one of your deepest fears being alone? I kind of mean alone for 5 minutes. I mean just alone in life. You have no one around you. Is one of your greatest fears being insignificant and not making an impact? Is one of your greatest fears having a lack of a future? Is one of your greatest fears not being enough? Or maybe your greatest fear is losing reputation, losing standing with people you like. Maybe one of your greatest fears is being like the negative traits that your parents showed you. The truth is this, we all have fear, and it is a reality. It's how we respond to it. Now, there's a different response that comes for someone who embraces Christ. Whatever your fear is, the second thing the angel says, there is good news. And the good news is this, Christ is born. And the good news is not even something practical. It's not the good news is that there's a 30-day plan for you to overcome fear. And if you would open this app, and if you would do it every day at 7:03 in the morning, somehow your fear is going to be gone. The remedy to fear in the Bible is welcoming the supernatural presence of Christ. That is it. Yes, other things can help us. Yes, therapy, counseling, good counsel, praying, those things are all helpful. But the remedy for fear, the thing that breaks the power of fear, is the presence of Christ. And here's what I love about what the angel says to the shepherds. He says, I bring you good news. Not just good news for someone else. What's the message to you and I? God brings you good news. If you thought and you were raised in a way that you thought God had nothing good for you or that there was no message for you in the Bible, he says, I bring you good news. And he says, born unto you. And he said the third time, there will be a sign for you. There's something about good news which is supernatural, and it's this, that Christ has come to you and for you. Whether you're the lowest person like a shepherd or whether you're the highest person like the Magi who came later, you get the same message, the good news of Christ. Let me tell you this. The good news of Christ is this, is that if you're a person who fears being alone, Christ wants to supernaturally presence himself with you. If you fear being insignificant, it is the very supernatural presence of Christ that can radically transform your life to make it a new life of significance. If you fear not having a future, he gives you the best future for tomorrow and the best hope for today. If you fear not having a reputation, Christ gives you something even better than reputation. He gives you identity. This is what Christ does. And you can't have a 30-day plan to achieve it. You can only have the good news come to you supernaturally by Jesus. The good news is Jesus is present in your loneliness, in your thoughts of insignificance, in your feelings of being less than enough. The good news is this, is that through the love and work of Jesus, those who are far off from him are brought near into his kingdom. That through repentance and faith, Jesus saves us into a new life, forgives us of sin, heals us of brokenness, and leads us by his Spirit to follow him. This is the good news. Now let me ask you this. When you hear good news, what do you do with it? When you hear good news, what do you do with it? You share it. First, you receive it, and second, you share it. When I heard the stories yesterday about the youth that we had sponsored as a church to receive gifts, I went purposely to Courtney, who is one of the leaders at Cloverdale Community Kitchen, said, can you tell me how that happened? Because I want to tell our church that their offerings this month directly went to kids who are in need and got a present. And I heard good news. I wanted to receive the good news so I could share it. So let me ask you this. Do you want to receive good news today? Do you want to receive good news that changes your fear? Do you want to receive good news that breaks the power of fear? I want to pray right now, if you would pray with me. So would you just bow your heads? Close your eyes if you would respect that. That's something that Christians do. And I would just ask you just to hold your hands out in your seat. Turn your hands up. And today, if you want to receive a supernatural peace because of the presence of Christ, I want to pray. Lord Jesus, in this moment, we want to receive the presence of Jesus. For every person, no matter their journey in faith, no matter if they've known you or if this is their first time in church, Lord, we ask that the presence of Christ come to them where they're at in this moment. Come to them in their home. Come to them in their family. Enter in. We receive you today, Jesus. We receive the good news. And Lord, as we open our hearts, God, guide us on that journey towards you. For those of us who have felt far from you, Lord, lead us to you. For those of us who have been following you, God, empower us afresh with your presence, your supernatural presence. Lord, for every fear of being alone, for every fear of death and dying, for every fear of not being enough or being insignificant, for every fear of the future, for every fear of turning out like a negative impression that they saw in their youth, God, we welcome your presence in and we say, may that fear fail in the presence of Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, I truly believe that the power of fear fails in the presence of Christ. Now, kids, if you're ever afraid, what can you do? Keegan, you can pray. What can you do?
Worship God.
You can worship God. Man, these kids got it. What else can you do? Say one more time.
You can talk about his name.
Do you know what all these three things have in common? Is that all these things in prayer, you receive Jesus. In worship, you give your praise, but you receive him. When you talk about his name, you receive the power of his name. It doesn't matter what situation you find yourself in, you can call on and receive the name of Jesus. And here's the third thing. It says, there was great joy. Why was there great joy? Because Christ is here. Your striving to be perfect can cease because Christ was perfect. Your striving to have hope and joy in your life ceases because Christ is here, and he's the one who brings hope and joy. Hey, he's okay. He's one of our friends. We love him. It's good. We don't have to strive after healing in our hearts and our bodies. Why? Because Christ has come. Christ has come to give you great joy. Christ has come because we don't have to fear death anymore because death has been beaten. Okay. Could have had an impromptu lesson there. Almost there. If you've ever feared death, if you've ever feared your own brokenness, if you've ever feared your own tendencies and propensities to do the wrong thing in the situations, guess what? The great joy comes because Christ is here. And I promise you this, no event in history has had as significant an impact as the birth of Jesus Christ. No event in history is looked at. And every enemy that you might have, every idea, right or wrong in your head, every worry, every undisciplined thought, every future fear, when the presence of Christ comes, those all fail. Church, hear me when I say this. Every enemy that you feel is fighting against you, even if it's family, friends, or your boss, the power that is there is nothing when you welcome the presence of Jesus in. Because when you have Jesus in your life and you have the presence of Jesus, fear starts to dissipate. Every worry you could have about what would come tomorrow, what may happen, every worry you might have about a fear of economic collapse or people being ill or whatever, or third world war, the fear just dissipates when we welcome in the presence of Jesus. No event in history has had a significant impact as the birth of Jesus Christ. Fear not. There's good news of great joy for who? For all people. Say it with me, for all people. The radical shift that happened when Jesus came is that the Jewish people were waiting for a Messiah for their people. They're waiting someone to come save them and to meet them and to give them a whole new life. But Jesus did something even more. He said, it's not just about the Jewish people. It's literally about every person. It's about all people. That means Christ is born. The good news of great joy comes for all, not for some, not for the special people who come to a church every morning, not for those who serve at a free store or who give, not for the elite. Christ came for all. He came for the lowest. He came for the highest. He came for the lowliest shepherds. He came for the wise and the wealthy. Christ has come for all. Now, church, I want to ask you something. We've been talking this fall about the person of peace, the person who seems open to you as you bring your story and the story of God. And I want to ask you, who is your person of peace? Who are you praying for and believing for that this Christmas they will encounter the transformative power and salvation of Christ? That is the person that you invite to come with you next week as you come to a service. That is the person that you pray for this week, that they would open their heart to the message of Jesus. I'll invite the worship team to come up. Yeah, I'll invite them to come up. Yeah. Church, the highest message comes to all of us, whether you're the lowest. The highest message that comes to the lowest shepherds gets praised in heaven. The highest message comes, it changes our life because Christ is present. And I want to encourage you today, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is a season to reflect and to contemplate and to open your heart to the Savior Jesus. And you might have a barrier. You might say, God, I give up my pride. I surrender my position to receive you. Because there's something about a humble heart that receives Jesus. Would you pray with me today? Father, we thank you for your supernatural presence. That with that, it dispels fear, and fear fails in the presence of Jesus. We thank you that as you bring that message, it is good news that Christ has come, that born unto us, born for us, born to us is Christ, the presence. That every enemy, every idea, every worry, every fear pales and fails in comparison to the presence of Christ. And so, Lord, as we come to this moment today, we pray you open our hearts to your message. We pray you open our hearts to the things you're saying to us and what you want to lead us in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And give one more round of applause for the kids who are going to finish us out today.
Thank you for listening to Hope Unveiled. If you're interested in learning more about what you heard today, or if you would like us to pray for something specific for you, we invite you to connect with us on our website, sunrise.ca.